my fellow Americans. This July, we're celebrating America's birthday at Moda Casino by giving away $1,776,000 in prizes. And one lucky winner is going to take home $1 million SC. Happy 250th birthday, America. You're welcome. Download Moto Casino today.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Join our party line now. 1-800.
The Ed Hominem Attack Show.
Super big dick energy.
Super. But
did you have fun?
I had a blast.
I had a really good time.
I was exhausted.
Is 2/6 of the funniest gay comics.
Bisexual.
America's favorite bisexuals.
Is pussy work or pussy work?
Everybody this... pussy work! Yeah, pussy work! Yeah, pussy work!
The Ed Hominem Attack Show.
We think this juice stuff is very funny.
All right, so
especially when you think about it, there's no good reason that Bird and Aladdin would get along.
I'll peck your eyes out.
God damn.
You goddamn mongrel.
No.
Oh, oh my God. Well, Adam, thanks for being on the last
man,
episode.
The Ed Hominem Attack Show.
Tell him I'm fucking coming!
Hello, America. Thank you for listening to Ad Hominem Radio. This is Chris Paul.
I don't like your jerk off face. I don't like your jerk off behavior. And I don't like you, jerk off.
Here with Jeremy Shear.
You're a cunt. You're a cunt now. You've always been a cunt.
Tabitha Jones.
Where did you learn your trade, you stupid fucking cunt, you idiot?
And Kyle Honhorst.
I can see you right now in the kitchen, bending over a hot stove. But I can't see the stove.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Ad Hominem Attack Show. BFFs edition. It's me, Chris Paul, here with...
Tabitha Jones.
Yeah, bitches, no... Jeremy, nope. Kyle, we didn't even tell him we were recording.
Nope, this is ad hom like, gone rogue.
Gone rogue. Indeed, we ordered a giant pizza.
We ordered way too much pizza. We were not anticipating quite as much pizza as we got. This is the amount of pizza we should be ordering when Jeremy is here.
And Kyle.
And maybe Kyle. Maybe Kyle.
This was, it's like a sheet of pizza. But in my head, I was pictured a half sheet when I ordered, which is probably still a lot for two people. But I planned to, freeze some or...
Yeah, the original, even when we something. Thought it was less pizza than we were getting, there was already plans...
There was, yes,
to
there was
freeze.
Talk.
I'm going to take some home. You know, there was a plan in place already. And then the pizza arrived. And Chris walked in with it. And it might have been one of the only times in my life where I truly should have said Mamma Mia. I did not. I regret it now.
Yeah, that would have been... perfect. I had to turn my whole body sideways.
To get it through the door. Yeah. To fit it in.
Yeah, it was Angelo's because that's what I told Steve too. Because he looked at it. He was like, I'm going to take a piece of that. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Take all of it.
Yeah. Hungry Howie's delivers, literally and figuratively.
Yeah. I spent the same amount of money on pizza at Angelo's and did not get enough pizza.
Yeah.
So.
Now we got too much pizza, which is a good problem to have.
Yeah. There's no such thing as too much pizza.
Also, this is truly ad hom after dark.
Yes.
We usually record in the middle of the day. We are now recording. Oh, it's 8:48 p.m.
Is it that late?
This is late night ad hom.
Oh, goodness.
You got to get to bed, Grandma? The fuck?
Yeah.
What do you got going on? You need to rest for?
Dead people.
Yeah, they won't.
People be dying.
at all times.
I messaged this to the group. I don't know how specific. I went to a nursing home to pick up a body.
Mm-hmm.
And when I strapped him to the rolly thing, I'll just call it, or the gurney, the cot, it, like, he had still had a breath in him.
Yikes.
And it, yeah, I pulled the strap tight.
And he went. I went. Whoa.
And it was, I'm always braced to hear noises, because there's, like, sometimes there's, like, a creak, like, or, like, a spittle.
Yeah, the body, there's stuff happening in the purge. Body.
They purge.
Yeah.
But that's always, like,
I've
liquid,
heard stories.
It's not air.
Oof.
This was, like, a breath, and it, like, pushed, like, where his, like, his vocal cord, like, I heard his voice.
Wow.
He'd been dead for hours.
Holy shit. So he literally,
fucking weird.
He took his last breath and then just like
died.
Nothing came back out
yeah.
at that point. Holy
Which
shit.
Which happens, I think, less often. I think usually your last breath is an exhale.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
I wish I could tell like 12, 13 year old Tabitha that she's going to grow up and have a friend. Who's got like cool dead body stories?
They're mostly boring. They don't do much.
Yeah, I'm sure. But like every now and then, you get a haunting exhale
from 100-year-old pair of lungs.
Yeah,
it was like 99. So
damn,
they were
so
close. Depending on whose definition, 99 years and 9 months ago, maybe.
Hey.
Yeah, that was weird.
Damn.
He was like a veteran, so at 99, a veteran would have been, what, World War II, maybe?
Probably.
Yeah, to be.
Because then he probably, I'm not doing the math on that.
I'm doing the math like 100 years, but I'm forgetting we're already 22 years past the 2000.
Time is a fickle thing.
Is that what it is?
That's, you know, that's what it is. Time, it's a fickle beast.
Fickle things are the worst.
Oh, God, I hate me a fickle thing. Ew. Why does that sound disgusting?
Like when you meet somebody and you're like, God, they're fickle as fuck.
I hate this fickle bitch.
This fickle fucker.
This fickle fucker.
Yeah, 100 years old. 100 years.
You think I'm going to make it that long?
23. You would have been born to be 99. So
in 2022,
or like
yeah.
late 22.
Yeah.
Or early 22. Yeah. Wait. Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd be 100 later in this year if you were born after now.
Do I gotta bring up my calculator on my phone?
No, I think we got it.
Got it out.
Yeah. Listen, it's old. It's really it's way longer than I'm gonna live.
That's when you were trying to figure it out. I asked you if you thought I was gonna make it that long.
No,
damn.
I don't think anyone around right now. If you're not like already pretty close, like
what if this
whole experiment's not gonna last another 50 years.
Okay, so let me put it to you this way. What if the world was perfect? Well, what if everything was fine? I was still exactly the same as I am now, though.
No.
Let me put it to you this way. Everything is perfect. Maybe I haven't been perfect the whole time, but say, like, within the last year or so, I've gotten, like, Chris Clem levels of jacked. Will I make it to 100?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
But not smoking.
Like, not smoking everything, or just cigarettes?
Yeah, cigarettes.
Just ciggies, yeah. But ciggy weeds are okay.
Yeah. Didn't George Burns, he was like 100 years old, but he also, he smoked cigars.
Yeah, he smoked cigars. I don't think he did what I do constantly and just eat mac and cheese like rolled up in fried chicken skins.
Well, I thought in this scenario we're all in Chris Clem shape and the world is perfect.
God, could you imagine that world? I'd fit on it. I would fit on every Cedar Point ride.
I think Chris Klem will be, he'll probably make it to the oldest of people that we know.
Probably.
I think.
Honestly,
as long as he gets out of that pedophile factory in California that he lives in.
Honestly, if I could get fit enough to fit into every Cedar Point ride, nothing else would matter. I wouldn't care
Meanwhile,
how old.
That's not that far from where
it's you're not,
at.
Chris. It's not. It's that's not. How bad it is right now. I just. Do you know how disheartening it is to wait? Okay, it's different if it's walk up. It's different if you can just walk on up. There's no line. And then you get in that seat and you're like, ooh, it's not happening. That happened to me on Cedar Creek Mine Ride. There was no line. I waited for no amount of time. I jumped in. I said, this is not going to work. I jumped back out. When you wait.
And then it crashed.
When you wait, though, I waited in line for the longest time, and then I didn't fit, and I cried. I cried. It wasn't even a good ride. It was the fucking Blue Streak.
They should have a test. They have some of them. They have
some
like
of them
the
do.
Test ones at the beginning,
but
of the
not
line.
For like the wooden-y roller coasters where you just jump in the little cart.
Oh, yeah.
There's not like a Blue Streak cart that I can pop my fat ass into. I wish there was. Also, it's like kind of humiliating, and they make them like kind of high up. I've had to like jump up into like one of the like hangy ones to see if I'm going to fit. And like that's just as humiliating as getting up there and not fitting.
I wonder if like the ones that come down over the shoulder, like I wonder like if the Rock can fit in all other
probably not.
I would think no,
the Rock could not fit. A lot of basketball players would not be allowed because there's like height limits.
Oh yeah,
if you're like a freakishly tall person, you might get like your head or foot chopped off.
Oh,
because of like the spinny twisties.
What if the Final Destination movie with the roller coaster, mm-hmm. if so they have a premonition,
mm-hmm.
but like what if one or two of them like couldn't fit in the thing and that's why they got off? Do you think that they would still be part of Death's design?
I don't think so, because I would say like in Death's design they would probably take into account like Death they yeah. would take into account that like if these people would be able to feasibly get on this thing to die that way. I don't think Death would come up with a plan and then just be like,
oh
shit,
spoiled
shit,
by fat.
Shit, I didn't know this man was an inch and a half too tall for this hanging roller coaster, you know? Like they're gonna get out that stick.
I think that you still show them later in the movie have a heart attack or something.
Yeah, something.
Like just to leave it open.
Who knows?
So you're like, maybe it was.
Yeah. Who knows?
That heart attack is like the spinning top in Inception. It's like Death clearly did have a plan.
I want a Final Destination movie where just like everyone dies at the theme park.
And they just move on.
I just want like, no, just like.
Someone has a premonition.
Someone dies on a roller coaster. Someone dies on like that bungee thing.
Oh, like just a.
I just want to see people die on other roller on other theme park rides.
I think that's more like a like theme park massacre.
Yeah, I guess that wouldn't be Final Destination. Okay, well, I want a movie where a bunch of people die on a bunch of different theme park rides. I want to see someone get on like a Tilt-A-Whirl, and I want to see him get shot the fuck off. No, gone. I want to see that bungee thing break where they slingshot you.
It could be like a hillbilly, like
gone.
Texas Chainsaw type family that's taken over an abandoned amusement park, and they bring people there and force them onto the rides.
Okay.
And then the rides like throw them off and shit.
Damn.
Yeah.
Okay, we got
that
it.
That would be pretty dope.
We made the movie.
Do you think they'll give us Geauga Lake?
Geauga Lake doesn't exist anymore.
Did they tear it down?
Everything's gone. It's sad.
They ripped it all down?
It's all gone.
Oh, I thought
it
was still there.
All gone. They like fucking demolished the Big Dipper. It's honestly very, very sad. Like, there's flyovers now. There's just, like, some buildings left and stuff.
Ugh.
There's, like, a Costco in the background. They started selling off bits of the land.
Well.
Honestly devastated.
There's, like, a Costco there now?
Yeah, because they divvied up, like, the land, and they're selling it off in lots. And, I think it was, like, a Costco and, like, another big shopping center went in one place, and then they're planning, like, a bunch of, like...
Condos
and, like, townhomes, I think. Shit. I think where SeaWorld was, like, on the upper part of the lake, of the Geauga Lake.
Wow.
Yeah,
I bet that the dolphins are still there.
Yeah, the dolphins are still there. They left them. That's what SeaWorld would do. They would leave the dolphins in Ohio. I'm surprised they didn't just dump Shamu in fucking Lake Erie. Said, good luck, bish.
Imagine being born an Ohio dolphin.
I was a dolphin that was born in Ohio. Like, fuck.
They release you back to the ocean. They're like, hey, where are you from? Ohio.
Ohio.
What the fuck is an Ohio?
Fuck's Ohio.
What the fuck is the internet?
I spent a lot of time at Geauga Lake as a kid.
I did too.
Spent a lot of time at Geauga Lake, a lot of time at SeaWorld.
I remember when they changed it to Six Flags for like 2 years.
It literally, that fucked with my head. Because I was a young enough kid that I didn't, I thought
they brought you to a new place?
Until years later when I was born in 91. Like, I started going to see, like, Geauga Lake when I was probably, like, 6-7 years old. I want to say the Six Flags thing happened when I was, like, around, like, 8-9 years old. And, like, until I sat down and, like, read a thing of, like, the history of Geauga Lake, and I learned about them turning it into Six Flags, I was like, no wonder. I remember being so confused why I showed up to Geauga Lake one year and, like, Batman was there.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck? When did he get here? There's a whole Batman show? Bugs Bunny is here? I don't know this place.
Yeah, I remember is getting there, and because I'm obviously born in 81.
Yeah.
So I remember going and thinking, well, I thought this was going to be all new shit.
Yeah.
They just painted Batman on some of the old shit.
Exactly. They just renamed shit and gave it a new fucking ride, like, color scheme.
There was a Superman ride and a Batman ride, and they were both, like, literally just, they painted, like, I forget what it was called before, but the Superman one was just, like, the car lays down, so you're, like, looking at the ground when you're on it. And that was, like, the new Superman ride. And, yeah, they just painted it blue and red and put up, like, some art, Superman art.
That's crazy.
Same deal with the Batman one.
Yeah.
It was just, like, they just painted it black and yellow. And
I have such vivid memories of Geauga Lake as Six Flags. I think mainly because we went, like, the summer or two after my dad got out of jail, and that's when they turned it into Six Flags. And that was also, like, the first year I was tall enough to, like, ride actual roller coasters. It was also, like, around, like, 99, and I remember there being so many dudes there dressed exactly like Fred Durst. Like, red baseball hat.
That was probably one of them.
White shirt. I just remember it was Fred fucking Durst everywhere. I also remember that being the first place I got to drink Surge.
I'm thinking my Geauga, it must have been the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
Mid to late, yeah.
Yeah, Geauga Lake was dope. My grandpa worked for Finest. And he'd always get, like, tickets to shit like first Geauga Lake and SeaWorld. So he'd go, like, every summer.
Probably most of the 90s.
Yeah.
It's, like, in the summers.
It's like, what else was there to fucking do?
Well, that was because we were always coming from Georgia for, like, 3 weeks at a time. So they always wanted to go take us. And that was, like, the thing to do.
The thing. Yeah. I remember I was obsessed with SeaWorld as a kid. Obsessed. And I have so many pictures of, like, little me with, like, some dude dressed in, like, a fucking Shamu costume. And I love, my favorite thing to do is to just, like, post those pictures online and pretend like I, like, knew, like, about SeaWorld's atrocities. I posted one. It was just, like, it's, like, five-year-old me and just like a little like sundress with Shamu, and I'm like, I could have helped him. It was, I knew the whole time.
It was fun.
Yeah.
And fuck those fish. It was fun.
Fuck them fish. I was there for the fucking, they'd have those bitches fucking dive and get you pearls out of the oysters and shit.
I don't remember that. All I remember about it is the big, like, the shows where they, like, they would all ski in and shit.
Yeah.
And,
like, I remember. I have a bunch of pictures.
The dolphins do tricks.
Yeah, make dolphins do shit. And then there was
college students.
Yeah, there was like the one show with like the sea lions, and like they got like these sea lions doing like slapstick fucking comedy, and like just like seeing a sea lion take its big ass like flipper and just put it over its face, and like, oh yeah, brother, like, man, it's the funniest shit in the world. I remember always being mad as fuck that no one would let me sit in the goddamn splash zone.
Yeah.
I want to get covered in dirty whale water.
Yeah.
I am 6 years old. Douse me in the dirty whale water.
I want to sit close enough to feel its pain.
I want to sit close enough that I can feel those cries it's putting out for the baby they took from it.
I think they separated that, or when it became Six Flags, they bought both, and they joined the parks.
There was, like, a long pier you could, like, walk across to
tickets
the,
for both of them before that.
Yeah.
But they did have, like, a boat ride across the thing.
I remember there being, when I was a little bit older, probably the last time I ever went, I remember there being, like, this long pier that you would walk across, or, like, not pier, but, like, boardwalk that you could walk across to get from each side. And I only remember because, like, there was a time me and my mom and my dad went to the park and they lost power, and we were, like, in the middle of walking across the boardwalk and, like, watched the entire park just go, like, pitch black. And we're like, oh, well, I guess we're going home, huh?
If you saw that now, you'd be like, oh, fuck, who got bombed?
Yeah, where's just like, shooting? All right, this is it.
Start listening for gunfire.
This is it. We were at Cedar Point. The whole thing goes black. I'm jumping in the water. I'm swimming to fucking Canada.
I think the other thing was Six Flags, when they got rid of the wave pool when they took over and, like, filled it in, and it was, like, all these weird sprinkler things instead.
Huh. It was, okay, I kind of remember that, yeah.
Yeah, they got rid of it. My when the wave pool was there, they had, like, there was this vent in the corner. It was, like, these bars that it would just suck water in.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's how they would, like, build up pressure to, like, do the waves every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But these, like, three, like, young Asian family, like, there was, like, two brothers and a sister, I think, or something. I forget the combination, but they were, like, all huddled together and, like, getting pulled towards the vent thing, and they,
God,
started screaming.
No, I would too.
But it was, like, it would come in and then, like, ease up, and so, like,
I'd be fucking terrified.
Like, they would get, like, terrified, and then, like, it would ease up, and they would, like, start to float away and be happy, and then it would suck them back in.
Fuck, I'm gonna die in a wave pool in Ohio? Shit. You ever been taken out by a wave pool?
No, I almost died in that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll pull you
it
under.
It sucks.
When you're little. Yeah.
I feel like everyone's had a story of just being like, I almost, my young life was almost ended in a wave pool.
Yeah. I'm sure that's why they got rid of it. Oh, they were also, for some reason, like, super, they would be super dirty.
Nasty. Because there's just all that motion.
It's
just, like, knocking dirt and shit off of you.
Yeah, it's basically just a giant tub.
Yeah. If you're wearing a Band-Aid and you're in a wave pool, the force of that wave pool is ripping that Band-Aid off.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just a lot of pressure. And that too, you're probably fucking walking around in a nasty ass theme park all day, getting all sweaty and gross and disgusting, putting sunscreen all over yourself.
There would be hundreds of people in it.
I have a picture of myself at the Geauga wave pool as a child, and it's just like packed.
Yeah.
Disgustingly packed.
Yeah,
I mean,
it would be, yeah, totally packed.
Nasty. Nasty shit.
But that's also because the parents would bring everyone there because they could just, like, fucking relax and, like, go play in the pool.
Sit down. Fucking we sit down for assholes. A fucking minute. God, Geauga Lake was, like, an event for my family. I remember my grandma was, like, making food the day before because, like, we are bringing a full-ass cooler to the picnic area. You are not buying food. No. There is no amusement park food in this poor-ass family. We're bringing sandwiches and Congo bars.
If it was expensive then, but if they had the prices now that they had then, that would be pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, inflation.
That's why I got that gold pass, baby. You get discounts on food and drink and merchandise.
Yeah, I think I'm going to get one.
Get one. That's what, okay, Chris Klum.
Wonder if you can get one, and then if you could get DoorDash to deliver to the front of the park.
Bruh.
I bet they do.
Nah, because you gotta get into the gates to get into parking. You gotta, like, pay to get into parking first.
Yeah.
So, like, you would have to physically leave the park, go through the entire parking lot, go to the front gates.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
Not feasible. Chris Klum, the entire episode, we're talking a lot about amusement parks right now. We were talking a lot about amusement parks on that episode that did not make it. Chris Klum, we planned an entire ad hom Cedar Point trip. We're going to get Jeremy so fucked up on edibles that he can handle not having cigarettes for a few hours. We are going to push him around the park. We're going to give him one of the little scooties. We're going to go around the park. We're going to go on the rides.
Well, what we have to get for Jeremy is, like, the full Steve Hawking thing.
Steve Hawking.
Stephen Hawking.
My bro, Steve Hawking.
I started to say Steve Jobs and remembered who I was talking about.
We gotta get Jeremy a turtleneck to go to Cedar Point.
Turtleneck and an iPad.
Yeah, we first asked Jeremy if he would go to Cedar Point, and he said no immediately. I said it was because they took out disaster transport, so he doesn't have anywhere air-conditioned to sit down anymore, and he agreed. He also said he would not be able to go without smoking for that long, and the only way he could not smoke for that long if he was on so many edibles that he could not move. So we will be propping him up. We're taking Pap to the Cedar Point.
Yeah, basically the idea is for him to be the grandparent while we go ride rides.
Yeah, he's gonna hold our shit.
Yeah, he's gonna sit on the cooler and hold it down. So no one takes it.
We'll wheel him out to the beach when we need some time away from him.
Let him smoke.
Let him smoke and look at the waves.
Yeah.
I'm currently trying to quit smoking, even though I've been smoking a lot of cigarettes and crisp paws.
You know, I've been thinking about grabbing one since I said.
Really won't. Yeah, do you got one for me, bruh?
Yeah.
Cool. I've been trying to quit smoking, I say as I light a cigarette, but I think I really have to. I gotta have at least one moment at old Cedar Point where I go and I smoke outside of the Magnum exit at night. Well, it's just like all lit up behind me, roller coasters going. I'm just fucking puffing on a cigarette on that Cedar Point parking lot.
I've quit before, and it's a process. I went into a CVS one time and bought nicotine patches, and they were behind the counter. So I had to go, I want to get the 30 milligram nicotine patches and pack of Marlboro Reds.
Yeah, that's my whole thing right now is I'm trying very, very hard not to buy packs of cigarettes. I'm not buying them and letting myself just have access to them.
I did that for like 2 years once. Ryan and Jeremy were very annoyed by the end of it.
And that's what I'm thinking is that, like, I'm doing comedy more, I'm doing more shows, I'm seeing you guys more, and I'm just gonna end up fucking, like, bumming all the time. But, I mean, you know what? That's gonna be my goal. Once I get my Cedar Point smoking, that's it. That's it. I gotta ride the Gemini and go blast a cig.
Yeah, we're gearing up for an ad hot summer here.
An ad hom girl summer. Ad hom girl summer. We all just get jacked and buffed to go to Cedar Point.
Yeah.
Ad hominem attack show at Cedar Point.
At Crackpots. That's where we're
Brother, let's not. I'm feeling good talking about Cedar Point right now, Chris, and you want to bring up Crackpots? I don't even know that bitch.
Is there any? There's no comedy in Sandusky, really.
Probably not. We could probably get a show going at, like, what is it, like the Thirsty Pony or whatever. It's like it's the big bar, like, on the corner of the road you take into the Cedar Point Peninsula.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet they're not having it. It'd be one of those shows everyone's like, I don't like this crowd, and it's like, it is their fault.
Nah, we're gonna do, I'm just gonna fucking start telling jokes in line for Steel Vengeance.
That's what we should bring megaphones to.
They will not allow us in with megaphones.
No. What about,
they don't even want you bringing in unopened water bottles.
You know those little amps that you can clip to your belt?
Okay.
Like a little amp and a microphone and just, like, tell jokes in line?
We'll each bring one of those, like, big little kids, like, echoey microphones.
Yeah. We have to get Clem there so he can, like, stand behind us in a tank top.
Yeah.
To, like, just look menacing. A bully.
I mean, what situation doesn't need Chris Klum there in a tank top? Like, I would honestly say, name me a situation where I wouldn't want Chris Klum there in a tank top.
We're looking at different reasoning.
Listen, all I'm saying, as I take a long drag off my cigarette, Chris Klum got jacked, baby. That's all I'm saying. I'm sorry, Chris Klum, for objectifying you. We are good friends. Also, maybe don't get hot if you don't want to be objectified.
I just think
that long hair. Okay.
I just think that his Kid Rock meets Lex Luger.
Listen,
aesthetic is going to scare off people that would be mad at us for telling jokes in line.
His name is Chris Klem. Bow to bow to bang to bang dee dee. You know, as one does. I'll wear a tank top to Cedar Point. Get nice and burnt.
We're out here getting burnt.
That's all I do at Cedar Point.
It's like the one, like, hip-hop-esque thing you could say that, like, we can't, like, we had to make up. Like, black people aren't like, I'm out here getting burnt. Because white people always steal all that stuff. I think this is a slang that we could come up with.
Getting burnt?
Yeah.
I'm not. Sun.
It means I'm going out in the heat.
I'm
out here getting sunburnt.
You're just stating a fact. That's not slang. You're just stating a fact.
Yeah, you're right. It's gotta mean, it has to mean something that it doesn't sound like. It's true.
Chris,
get burnt, bitch.
Get burnt, bitch. Okay, I could, maybe that's like an insult.
Get burnt.
Get burnt, bitch. Say bish after. I've been liking to say bish. Is it a bitch?
I feel like that could have, like, evolve into, like, a get Krugered. Get fretted.
Get fretted.
Get fretted, bitch.
Get fretted, but it's just that kid from the internet, Fred.
I think Do you think Robert Englund's going to die soon?
Probably. He's old.
Pretty soon, right?
He's old.
It's like 60, 70. I was thinking with all these horror remakes, like, they're going to... Like, they should get Robert Englund in one more time.
Robert they should do, like, a
Nightmare on Elm Street requel.
Requel?
Yeah. Did you see the new Scream?
Yeah.
Yeah. They call it a requel.
I liked the new Scream.
Yeah.
Did you see the new Scream? It's good as fuck.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I like that fucking super charismatic Jack Quaid.
Yeah, he's in The Boys. It's pretty good. Yeah. He's in the comic character was based on Simon Pegg. That's why they got him to play the dad.
Oh, okay.
Because in the comics, he looks like
Simon. That's fun.
Looks like Simon Pegg.
That's fun. We have fun.
And that was they wanted him, but now he's too old.
Spoilers for the new Scream. Giving you a second here in case you don't want to hear these spoilers.
Skip ahead a minute.
I knew someone had to die. I didn't want to be David Arquette.
Yeah, I would have preferred Courtney Cox.
I was just about to say the same fucking thing.
Because then they could do a sequel and, like, she's the Good Morning America person now is dead, and then, like, Dewey on a fucking rampage, like, I'm gonna fuck up all these ghost face motherfuckers.
Yeah, he'd say that exactly.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm always rooting for David Arquette is all. Did you see that movie Spree?
No.
It was on Hulu. I really enjoyed it. It's like a...
Is it like a Family Annihilation?
No, it's like a found footage-y kind of thing, but it's Joe Keery from Stranger Things. He plays Steve with the big hair.
I don't know any of the...
Okay, you ain't a Stranger
Thing. I saw the first season and a half or something.
Gotcha.
I don't know who he... I know one kid is in it.
Yeah. The guy who plays Steve is the main guy in this movie. He's a very good actor. And the whole thing is there's in whatever world or universe there's like a ride share or like an Uber type app called Spree. So he's a Spree driver and he like is trying really, really hard to be like YouTube famous and like streaming, like live streaming his like sprees and like trying to like
do people get do that clout. With Uber?
They do. It sucks. But then like this dude snaps and it's just like, all right, no one's watching my shit. No one cares about what I have to say. Like, and he just starts fucking killing all the people in his Ubers, basically. Very good movie. I enjoy it a lot. David Arquette plays his dad.
I thought I had watched Bobcats Goldthwait, the World's Greatest Dad.
Yeah.
But I just watched it recently, and I didn't remember any... Like, okay. I remember, like, the basic premise, but... I actually got to watch it, like... Oh, fuck.
Kind of blind. Yeah. Very good movie.
Yeah, I thought I had seen it, and somebody brought it up to me. An embalmer was asking me about it. Because we had a... We found a body like that.
Okay.
Well, I guess is probably the most I can say about it, because I think that's pretty identifiable.
True.
Of course, no one found it for 3 weeks, so I doubt any family could recognize.
Fuck.
That was a weird one. Anyways, so when we brought the body in, I was like, check this out. It's not there anymore, but he had it in his hand.
Damn.
And they were like, well, let's immediately put this guy in a body bag. But also, they brought up that movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I saw that. I thought it was like one of those ones, like, because he did a bunch of, like, family movies, too, like, mm-hmm. Blubber and shit,
yeah.
Or Flubber, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there was one where he, like, was camping with his kids or something.
Yeah, like RV.
RV, yeah. That's what I thought it was.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, I don't know what that movie's got to do with this situation.
Holy shit, that's funny as fuck.
So I was, and then, I was just looking up Bobcat movies because, yeah. Because I like the other, the American Idol, where they kill all
God
the
Bless people. America. Yeah. I love God Bless America.
But I finally watched the other one. I was like, what the fuck? What is happening here? And,
God Bless America's good.
Yeah, I think he should have just stopped talking about writing. Like, just not acted like he was a writer.
Yeah.
And not told everyone how his kid actually died.
Exactly. That's all you gotta do.
I think the privacy part is okay. It doesn't make you a big crazy liar. It's all the...
Man, people were talking about World's Greatest Dad. I was thinking about Jumanji.
It was, yeah, basically that.
That's great.
I like Jumanji because I am, like... I think I'm, like, roughly the same age as Kristen... What's her name? Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I had a crush on her.
Oh, yeah, of course.
As a kid.
Jumanji was dope. I remember being scared as hell that, like, a fucking board game was going to make scary-ass elephants and monkeys come out of my house.
Shit, I was hoping for anything to change the landscape of that house.
It's like, yeah, I really wanted out of my shitty house, but also at the same time, yeah. I didn't know what the fuck to do with a lion.
No, I was watching it like, I wish a fucking elephant would run through here and knock somebody on their stupid ass.
All my problems would have been solved if an elephant came through here and just stepped on my fucking dad. Just
this whole trailer. That's the sequel. They should do a Jumanji where it's like kids in a trailer park fighting.
Hell yeah.
They like fucking roll one dice and the whole place is gone. It's a 15-minute movie. And then it's like the news where, you know, like, I don't know what happened.
Goddamn elephant.
I saw an elephant come through here. And I'll be goddamned.
Damn it, Bob.
Goddamn government experimenting in the woods on shit.
Oh, fuck.
It's a goddamn elephant and that other kind of engine.
Fuck off.
Weren't there people in Jumanji that came out of it, too? Like the hunter guy?
Yeah, the hunter guy.
Or is that a character? Now I'm mixing up Night at the Museum.
No, there was the hunter in Jumanji because they did that thing where, like, in the beginning, like, young Robin Williams is having, like, a hard time with his dad, his father figure.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
there happens to be one in the game.
Well, the hunter is played by the same actor that plays his dad.
Oh, okay.
Just, like, in Mecha is, like, a...
Yeah.
Is it Jason Isaacs? I don't know.
See, that's where, like, if I played Jumanji as a kid, would my other dad have both hands?
My other dad would have never been to jail.
Is the game version still schizophrenic?
Yeah, I get it. My dad is a deep safari hunter now, but is he still racist?
That hunter shows up and just keeps using the N-word, and you're like, I thought this was supposed to be better.
I thought this was in some way supposed to be different than my real father.
Oh, he pays attention to me now, but he won't shut up about the Jews.
God damn it. Nothing can just go my way, can it?
Another version of my dad came out of the game and he says he's a true patriot. That And then he left again to go to the Capitol.
Another version of my dad came out of Jumanji. He's still racist, but at least he comes to my comedy shows when I invite him.
He's like, you could use this one.
Oh my god, one of your skits.
How many?
No!
You put Velcro on the ceiling.
Christopher Paw, I understand you're pretending to be my racist father. But even he doesn't...
He knows that joke.
Even he doesn't tell jokes like that. He's a little bit more direct about it.
Oh, I was not... I was dancing around it as well. Yep.
I was saying he's so direct he doesn't even make jokes. He just makes statements that make everyone very uncomfortable.
He just says, you know what? Use Velcro. He just takes it out of joke format and tells it as a fact.
I would like to start talking about Cedar Point again. I would like to either start talking about Cedar Point or women who are murdered by their husbands. That's the only way I can turn this conversation around for me.
Oh, you got one?
It's still the same one I was on last week. I'm still listening to that fucking Susan Powell podcast.
Was it? Oh, that's right. Those are like the long form.
There's like 36 hours of this shit, and I'm eating it up.
On the same case.
Yeah.
I listened to one that was... It was that other case, the, shit. It was, like, the little girl, and they had, like, her phone cut off, like, right... And there was something she'd uploaded that, like... She got a video out, and they just fucking... I think they found this guy recently.
I don't know about that one.
Oh, man. It's, like, a famous case. I can't fucking think of the...
I know There was one with, like, two kind of teenage-ish girls, or, like, preteen girls. They were, like, walking...
Woods,
yeah,
right?
And they got the video of the guy, like, on the bridge.
Yeah, but they couldn't see...
You couldn't see him. There was one video
there
that they took.
There were two of them?
Yeah, there were two girls, and they took a video in the beginning where it was just, like, almost like a Snapchat video.
Yeah.
Where, like, they recorded, like, themselves to make it look they were just, like, posting something, but they knew this guy was already following him, so, like, they're, like, taking the Snapchat video and, like, pan up, so, like, in the video you can see the guy behind him. So there's like a split second where you can like see this person.
Yeah.
And then there's like either a video or a recording where like she kept like recording in her pocket and you can like I guess hear this guy like telling them to like get down the hill or something, like telling them where to go.
But it's only like a few seconds.
Yeah, it's not that long. Or like whatever they've released or whatever they've been able to like salvage like wasn't that long.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's like it was in, they call it like the Delphi murders. It was in like Delphi, Indiana, I want to say.
Yeah, so yeah, Delphi. Yeah, I thought they just found this guy recently.
I'll have to look into that.
Like, finally.
I hadn't heard anything.
Something happened, finally.
Something. I think recently they thought they found Susan Powell's body, but I haven't, like, they're testing stuff still right now.
Yeah, that's, like, the West Memphis thing. Mm-hmm. Like, he's still trying to clear his name.
Yeah.
And the fucking, like, DA and stuff down there is still, like, it's some of the same people are there.
Yeah.
And they just won't, like, release any of the shit to be tested.
Fuck.
Because they have, like, a new DNA process. They want to take, like, the shoelaces and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some, like, new thing where they can extract DNA from, like, just they liquefy it. Like, not the evidence, but, like, they run a liquid through it that extracts DNA now.
Okay.
That they can do something with and test.
Yeah.
But I think it's pretty clear it's the one guy. Not in the first two parts, they make the one dude look super guilty.
Yeah.
In the third one, that's like when they got released and shit.
Mm-hmm.
The Michael, the other guy, mm-hmm. the one stepdad.
Yeah.
It's like one of the kids' stepdad pretty much looks like he did it. I went down a whole rabbit hole and I watched like hours of like his deposition and shit like that.
Oh,
that
guy is
so full of shit.
Okay.
He's like the whole time. It's one of those things like everybody keeps saying about Trump, like, why are you so fucking scared to testify or go to court for this and that if you're innocent?
That's how I feel about the Susan Powell thing, where it's like, if this dude's dad and his brothers, it's like, if you're so clueless and you have no idea what's going on, why are you so afraid to talk to the police? Why are you so afraid? Why are you out there actively putting out reasonable doubt? Why are you going to be the one out there to be like, your daughter-in-law goes missing or your wife goes missing, and you're going to be the one out there to be like, oh, well, maybe she ran out on us. You're gonna be the one that's like hindering a police case to figure out where your missing spouse or family member is.
Is that the one that they like timed it, or like they had found like blood in the neighbor's trash can or something like that?
No, with the Susan Powell one, they found blood in the home. Susan Powell, basically, there's a huge snowstorm.
Oh, I'm thinking of something.
Yeah. Huge snowstorm one night in 2009. The morning after the snowstorm, these kids don't get dropped off for daycare. So the daycare provider's like, hey, we can't get in touch with anyone. These kids are always on time. You know, they come in at 6 a.m. before everyone has to go to work and everything. We've heard nothing from the mom, nothing from the dad. We don't see anyone. So she makes the call, gets in touch with family members. They go over. There's no sign of anyone at the house. They're originally afraid that, like, something happened with, like, a heater and, like, carbon monoxide and shit. Like, they can't get through to anyone. There's no sign of them leaving or anything. No tracks in the snow. Break into the house. No one's there. No one knows where this entire fucking family is. No one can get through to anyone on a phone. And hours and hours later, the husband shows up with the two kids. And they're like, okay, where the fuck have you been? And he's like, oh, I took them out camping last night. December in Utah in the middle of a snowstorm. Says he took his 2- and 4-year-old out to go camping at like 1 a.m. Oh, and he messed up. Ooh, he thought it was Saturday night, not Sunday night. That's why he went out. He didn't realize that it was Monday and he was going to be missing work. And when he realized that, instead of turning around and going home, he just like putzed around with his kids out camping in a snowstorm still. He says he left the house and his wife was asleep. And he's like, I have no idea where she went. He's hours late to his interview with police. The kids are telling the police, yeah, mom went with us last night. Mom went with us. She did not come back. They find blood in the house. Like,
they still have to have a body to charge.
Have to have a body. And they're, he was obviously driving around. They had a tracker on him. He was obviously driving around dumping evidence. They couldn't find any of the shit he was dumping. Any of the shit, because he's thrown into fucking canals and shit, and like,
wow.
It's
crazy, like, you watch these and like, even like what we're watching with like the coup,
mm-hmm.
like Trump and shit, like, they can know somebody did it,
yeah,
and, like, just not have enough evidence.
They just don't have enough evidence.
But you like watch it and you think, like, how could you ever get away? People
how could
get
you
away
not?
With it all the time.
Insane. It's absolutely insane that like you're literally there. Someone's husband being like, oh, I don't know what happened to her. Have no show no concern for the fact that she's gone. Literally a week and a half after she went missing in Utah, he packed all of his shit up, packed his kids up, they moved back to Washington with his family. That's not what you do when your wife is missing and you don't know where she is.
let me throw this out there. What if she's missing? You don't give a shit where she is, but you didn't kill her. You're just like, good.
Though you're a little bit more forthcoming with the police then. Yeah. You're a tiny bit more open to having them search your home and having them search your van. You don't have her cell phone in the console of your car.
Yeah.
Her purse isn't at home. There was also then it's just like this whole thing. They can't find her body. They can't bring enough evidence against him. They end up taking the kids away from him because he's living with his father, who was obsessed with his daughter-in-law, to the point that he's collecting in file cabinets fucking labeled Ziploc bags of like dates where these were the fucking cotton balls she used to take her nail polish off on these dates. They were fucking Mormon. He stole her like ceremonial like temple undergarments.
What the fuck?
He was obsessed with her. He wrote over 50 songs about her. Released an entire album about her.
That's right. The dad helped. Do you think the dad helped murder her?
I think so. I 100% think so. I also, because like the guy's just fucked. They had to take the kids away because when they finally got a search warrant for this guy's house, they go through his entire house, find all this stuff. It's like, yeah, he was obsessed with his daughter-in-law who's now missing and no one knows where she is. But also, here's a bunch of videotapes that he took of like his 8 and 9-year-old neighbors taking baths through their fucking bathroom window.
Oh, Jesus.
So they're like, okay, we've got to, like, he goes to jail for that.
So they've got to take those kids away.
The kids go to the missing wife's parents. There's this whole huge thing in the whole case where, like, Susan was a devout Mormon. Josh was a Mormon too, but he was constantly having these weird crises of faith. And he just, like, was in this headspace that, like, Mormons were evil and were going to, like, completely taint his children, so he didn't want his kids to have like anything to do with his wife's family. So there's a whole huge court case. They end up going with the wife's family.
Was this during COVID?
No, this was like 2009 to 2012.
Oh, okay, you said that. Okay. Because there was a guy like during COVID and the whole QAnon thing that like killed his kids and
I saw that too.
It was like basically because he believed all this QAnon.
Yeah. Shit. And it was, they took the kids away from him, and they're like, we're going to have you go through all this testing and everything, basically. And he was getting supervised visits with the kids, with like a social worker. But they were still allowing those supervised visits to take place at his home. He moved out of his dad's house and had like his own place. And like the first visit after, they're like, no, we're not giving you custody back of your kids, and you have to go through all this additional testing to get them back. His first visit with them after that, those kids ran up to the door ahead of the social worker. The dad snatched him in the house, locked the house up, and he fucking killed himself and those kids.
Wait, the same story?
Yeah.
That you were just talking about?
Yep. He takes his kids on a camping trip. Mommy, who knows where mommy goes? Kids are saying mom came with them. He loses those kids. He kills himself and those kids.
Killed the kids too.
Yep. Fucking got like gallons and gallons of gasoline, blew that fucking place up. Also, like chopped those kids up with a fucking axe beforehand.
Oh, so he like planned it before they came.
100%.
So what are they, when he locks the door, what are the supervised, like the people there from like welfare or something?
Yeah, so she's banging on the door, like, let me in, let me in. She fucking calls the police and she's like, I'm on a supervised visit. The dad just like, the kids ran in ahead of me. The dad grabbed him up. He's not letting me in. This has never happened before. She's like, I can smell gasoline and I can hear the kids crying. Like, something is wrong. And they're like, well, I mean, like, unless like there's a reason for to believe. And she's like, I can smell gasoline, and this man, people think he murdered his wife. That's the reason he's having supervised visits right now. He can't have custody. He's under investigation for murder. And at that point, like, the house fucking goes up
because the cops are they'll just tell you, like, well, you just have to write it down and go to court. We don't really kind of,
yeah, being like,
stuff.
Okay, it's like a family thing. And she's like, no, these kids are in danger. I need someone here now. And, like, the house fucking goes up. Fucking.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's like, there goes literally any shred of doubt anyone had that you fucking murdered your wife.
Yeah.
You took yourself out, and you took your kids, and one of his brothers that people were suspect that, like, he helped him or knew about it or something, killed himself a year later.
That's one of those fucking, like, narcissists, they, like, where they'll just never...
It's a whole family of narcissists. When you, in this podcast of listening to his father's audio journals, listening to his own audio journals, and listening to these, like, police interviews with the family, that family was fucking doomed from the start.
Yeah.
From the fucking start.
Jesus Christ.
That was Tabitha Goes Off.
It was like a piecemeal family annihilator.
Yeah.
Like, just instead of all at once.
And the amount, and the thing is that, I mean, this woman knew this shit was coming. She did not feel safe. She was literally, like, they found a piece of, like, notebook paper folded up, and on the front it's like, for the friends and family of Susan Powell, anyone but Josh Powell, her husband, I do not trust him.
Who wrote that?
The woman who went missing.
Wait. The wife did.
The wife that went missing. So, and it's just her being like, if something happens to me, it may not be an accident. He took out a $500,000 life insurance policy on her.
I'm going to write a note like that and do it myself, but make it look like an accident.
I honestly... So this whole podcast and everything had inspired me to start journaling more, because these motherfuckers, like, journal like nothing. Apparently it's a big thing, like, in the Mormon faith. They put, like, some weird importance on, like, journaling for some reason, which is why there's, like, these extensive journals from, like, Steve and Josh and Susan.
I wonder if... because the guy that Jodi Arias killed was Mormon, wasn't
he? Yeah.
I wonder if he journaled.
Maybe. Man,
I guess that since
Arias
he's the victim,
thing.
Though, that's not something that they would really release or anything.
Yeah.
Or would really
that
tell
was,
much.
That was a big thing. That was how they ended up getting the search warrant for Steve Powell's house, was he was going on, like, these news interviews talking about how he had his daughter-in-law Susan's journals. And was, like, talking about, like, publishing them. And her parents were like, like, those were her journals. Like, I don't think you should be reading them.
I think that's super weird, even, when they published Kurt Cobain's journals. I read them.
But. Right. But, yeah, so her family is, like, expressing this concern, being like, we don't think this is something that should be released. Like, we would really, like, these are our missing daughter's journals. Like... I don't want to read them, but I would really like to have something that is my daughter's, who I don't know where she is.
Or, like, maybe the cops should read these.
And that's the thing. Then he starts going on these shows again after talking about how he has her journals, and this motherfucker fucks up and refers to something within the journals as, like, I feel like this is a crucial bit of evidence. And immediately cops are like, all right, search warrant.
Yeah.
Like, you said you have evidence for this case that you're involved in.
That's how they're going to get Trump.
Search warrant. And we search your entire disgusting house that's just crammed full of your narcissism. This motherfucker writes a song called The Light of Seattle. Fucking records it on, like, fucking GarageBand by himself. And he has the goddamn narcissistic audacity to put in his audio journal being like, I believe my song, The Light of Seattle, could be on par with some of the great city songs. Such as New York, New York, and Chicago is my city. Shut the fuck up,
Steve
Powell.
What a weird category.
Yeah. Ooh.
That's not even as good as that one song about the moon over Parma.
Moon over Parma. Aw, oh, man. Drew Carey. Now, there's videos of this dude, Steve Powell.
Such as Cleveland Rocks and New York, New York.
This dude just, sitting on his bed, talking about massaging his daughter-in-law's shoulders, where when she recounts this in her journal, she is uncomfortable as fuck that this is happening.
But so he read that, though.
Yeah.
So he read her thoughts on him and still was so delusional that he just couldn't absorb that.
He literally created a fantasy in his mind, literally writing journal entries being like, I hope Susan comes back one day, and if Josh doesn't want her, she'll allow me to have her.
I would be so upset with my dad.
And that's the thing. That's the thing. This dude knew about it, and he did nothing. This dude knew that his dad was obsessed with his wife. Nothing.
And, why kill her if your dad's willing to take her off your hands?
True.
That doesn't make sense either. So it kind of, in a weird way, maybe the dad didn't kill her? Or do you think these journals are now, because he's talking about publishing the daughters, maybe he's, become more aware that people might end up hearing his if he's guilty?
Because they went in, one of the most recent episodes, the guy, reads through all of Steve Powell's journal entries from, around the time Susan has gone missing. Mm-hmm. And, this man made, 12 journal entries between, the time she goes missing and, the first, 36 hours. And it's all just, where is she? Is she coming home? Blah, blah, blah. And it's just, I fear Josh has done something terrible. I hope this isn't true. And it's, okay, this is either, a man who is very obsessed with this woman and is very much, where did she go? Or this is a man trying to cover his tracks and be like, I know nothing. See how bewildered I am?
Crazy, because one or the other of them could have also killed her and not told the other one?
Yeah. Josh could have killed her and not told his dad. His dad could have killed her and not,
not told him.
Not told him.
He's just how do we go on without her? And now I can't even have my kids. But
yeah.
Or he knows his dad did it and doesn't want to send his dad to prison. Or
yeah.
Weird.
It is intense, and I am just neck deep in it. I'm give me all of it. Please. Yeah, just a video of him in his hotel room, undressing while he's talking about rubbing her shoulders.
Ugh.
And about it being I've just had the most truly erotic experience I have ever had in my life.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and showing being how he touched her on her upper chest.
On Howard Stern one time, one of the Whack Packers, they got a hold of some video he'd sent his wife. That was it wasn't full nude or anything, but he was rubbing the outside of his pants and kept calling it that crucial head.
Oh.
Yeah. And they played it on the air. I don't remember how they got it. I'm sure it was
fucking
set up or something maybe, but
fuck. It's people this just exist.
Yeah, they're out here. Now they form groups.
Yeah.
Got it. Remember the internet? It was supposed to be oh, now this is cool that everybody, can find people, like-minded individuals and shit.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Now they've done it to the tune of, 71 million people voting for a narcissist. It's like half of the country's trapped in a narcissistic, abusive situation.
I have never been more thankful to have a future father-in-law that is just, like, completely disinterested in me. Like, I show up, nothing changes about his day.
Yeah.
He's not gonna write a song about me.
Yeah. He's gonna write a song called Fat Ass.
Fat Ass Bitch My Son's Marrying.
I saw you in traffic the other day.
Chris is trying to get me to talk about a road rage incident that was had today, in which I was completely in the right. This motherfucker had no idea how to use a turn signal and kept almost hitting me. And when we ended up at the same spot next to each other at a red light, surprise, surprise, maneuvering like a fucking jackass through traffic doesn't always get you that much further ahead. When we were at the same red light next to each other, that man called me a fat ass. It's like, yeah, bitch. I fucking know what I got. I'm just testing out material on the pod.
It's just so funny. Like, I think just from being on the internet so much, like, even in road rage situations, like, I don't ever, like, go to the that the racial slur, like, fucking cut. Like, it's always like, you fucking... Like, it's not even a, like...
You fat ass.
Yeah. You fat fuck.
Yeah.
I'm just like, you, you piece of shit. I think you piece of shit is very asshole.
Yeah.
Like, very old school road rage.
Oh, yeah. I give a very, like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Fuck you.
Most of the time, I'm like, I just roll my eyes or so. Like, it doesn't, yeah. I don't get a lot of road rage anymore.
Oh, my favorite.
Just like, what's the point?
My favorite to do is if someone's, like, tailing me. Being a real jackass about it, where it's just like, lane's open on either side, buddy, just fucking pass me. Once they finally do, I love to just give them a thumbs up as they pass.
Oh, yeah, I do a lot of sarcastic gestures.
Just give thumbs up.
Like somebody revving all aggressively next to you or something, I always just go like, ooh. Yeah, I'll give him like a wink or something.
Yeah, I told Chris earlier that I really like when I'm in some sort of road rage incident with like a man. I like to just kind of like look over and do the little pout and like go like cry, boo-hoo. Like boo hoo, oh, fist under the eye, oh, gonna cry about it. Piss your pants.
I always go like this. Get over it.
I just love... And see, I was forced to make gestures and whatnot in traffic because my horn is broken right now, so I couldn't even properly be like, hey, you're being a jackass.
One of my first cars, the horn and radio didn't work. And my brother drove it a lot, too. And we would just scream the word horn out the window at people. Just horn!
Horn! As one does. I should just do that. I want to get one of those, like,
it's
fog horns. It's
suitable, and people react even more like, what?
I just like to confuse people, especially when we're both going, like, 80 miles per hour.
That was also, like, the early cell phone days, and I had one in the car for emergencies, but my brother would pretend to talk on it when we pulled up next to people and be like, I don't give a shit whose grandma did it, I want the bitch fired. It's stupid shit like that.
Love a good prank.
And a boombox instead of the radio.
Damn.
With just batteries in it.
Holy shit. I remember my mom had a station wagon where the fabric on the ceiling was sagging so badly.
Oh yeah.
That we took like three packs of different colored thumbtacks.
Yeah.
And just had the entire top of the car full of thumbtacks.
Yeah. I miss when shitty cars would still run.
Yeah.
Like, they make them now in a way that, like...
It gets shitty and it stops running.
Yeah, it just won't go anywhere anymore. Which is the same thing as not running. I don't know why I said all that.
I don't know.
It's like in Thor Ragnarok. Only if it kills me, that's what killing you means. Or only if I die.
That's what killing you means.
Get it? They got Peter Dinklage to play a giant. Get it?
I got
it. It's ironic.
I got it.
That's also not in Ragnarok. That was in Infinity War, Endgame, one or the other.
The fuck, Chris?
I know. They're gonna pull my nerd card.
They are.
No, I can't. Fuck all the cosplayers.
Man, hasn't it been nice doing this episode and not having Jeremy's brain wipe itself clean every 30 seconds?
Or him respond with, like, I don't know, AIDS, herpes, genitals, poop.
Yeah, we would be talking about Jumanji and be like, oh yeah, an elephant. And he'd be like, let me talk about my elephant balls. They're disgusting.
Yeah.
And then, like, he'd say something about how, like, he understands Woody Allen or something. I don't know.
Yeah, he'd be like, oh, I mean, it's not like they were related.
Fucking Christ, Jeremy Shear.
Oh, and then the elephant fucked a herpes baby.
That is a Jeremy Shear joke. I've heard that Jeremy Shear joke before.
Yeah, you know when he goes, when he's like, I'm going to tell you a story about the first elephant I ever fucked. You know that one?
Yeah, I know that one. I've heard that one before.
Yeah.
I think I've heard that one before.
And then when he's like, hickory dickory dock, I was sucking a baby's...
Listen, that's my bit, except for sucking up babies. Wow.
Yeah, it was the one that we recorded that we didn't get to post. He was all like, I like to use desitin for lube, and...
Oh, yeah. He was being like that.
Yeah, he was super like, I fuck babies hard.
That's why we were forced to record without him.
Yeah, we had to give him a pedo break.
So, Chris Klein, when we go to Cedar Point, what's the first ride you're riding?
The Shears by Babysitter ride.
We're just gonna stick Shear on, like, the carousel.
This is where I order him a coffee mug that says Jeremy Shear fucks babies on it.
And then Chris Klem would then be like, can I get a copy of that coffee mug? Because Chris Klem loves coffee mugs.
Cedar Point. Get on it. We want to get, yeah, I don't know. Somebody make an event page. We may go that far.
I will gladly make an event page. We got to figure out when Chris Klem's going to be home.
Well, let's do this for now. April 2nd. 9 o'clock, right?
I don't know what time it is.
At the they're calling the room in the back. It's in the Odeon. They have a room that's like not the big giant stadium room.
Yeah, it's like a side room, a back bar
with a bar. They call it into the rabbit hole.
Down the rabbit hole. There's like a Alice in Wonderland mural or something.
Yeah. So, that's where we'll be at.
We're not calling it that. We're calling it Ad Hamarama side room.
Yeah. It's the Ad Hamamaniac room.
Yeah, it's that. Ad Hamarama, Ad Hamamaniac.
What else can we take for Mark Maron?
The Ad Homies.
The Ad Hamafucksters. What the fucksters?
The ad homosexuals. Because it's like homosexuals.
Yeah, it's a strange mix. Ad homosexuals. Whole fag between the four of us.
He just had a stroke.
May, April, then May. May 2nd. Friday, May 2nd. I think it's the 2nd. First Friday.
We shouldn't be plugging shows when we don't know when they are.
I guess this is why we have Jeremy and Kyle.
Yeah, literally, Jeremy can't keep, like, a single stream of thought going.
Except for show dates.
Except for show dates. Because I don't even think May 2nd is a Friday. No, it's not.
It's not even a date.
May 2nd's a Monday, Chris. It's gotta be May 6th. That's the first Friday of May.
The first Friday of May. Right?
May 6th.
May 6th.
Yeah.
We paused for a minute to figure it out. It's May 6th on Friday at the pharmacy. I believe it's at pharmacy.
Yeah.
It's part of the River City Festival.
Fuck.
Be a goddamn professional.
We're really good at doing the pod. We're so good at it.
Look, I'll write the stuff down next time, and like that'll then we don't need Jeremy. If I just write stuff down,
if we just get a dry erase board, we can just get rid of Jeremy.
Yeah, we just draw a baby getting fucked and dates to shows.
At this point, you're talking about babies getting effed more than Jeremy did.
I'm representing Jeremy's part of the show.
Oh, and I guess I'm representing
this is what
Kyle's.
It's about, we're just talking about Jeremy.
People let me talk about Jeremy. So cool, so fun. If you're not here, you're the only one. Party on till after dark at the IX Indoor Amusement Park. We lost the whole cum tangent, Chris.
Just close the show. Close it.
That'll do, pig!
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.